to the Old Testament book of Isaiah, chapter 28. Isaiah chapter 28. We're going somewhere today, and this passage here in Isaiah fits right in. Now today, don't be fooled, even though we're in Isaiah, we begin our study of the New Testament epistle of Galatians. Since the day we started this church over 17 years ago, what our manner is here, if you're a guest, is we always take a book of the Bible, and then we just begin to work systematically through it. And out of all the books of the Bible that we've studied, we've not studied Galatians. And I'm really excited about this. You know, whenever we study a book of the Bible, we always start with an overview so that we have an understanding of what this book, what this epistle is all about and what's going on with it before we actually jump in and systematically work through the text. And I've got an outline. I'll mention it again. You know, I'm not sure how it's going to work out, but probably 18, 19 messages through Galatians. But today, because of the nature of this first Sunday, this first start, because it's an overview, it's a whole lot more like a classroom study, to be quite honest with you. It's more like going to school. This would be a lot like what the Bible Institute would be like, if you wonder what happens there. But I'm sure somewhere along the line I'm going to get to preaching, because this is a Sunday morning message and I'm the preacher. So a little bit more of a feel. It'll be different in the weeks ahead, a little bit different today. Now, I chose this particular book for many reasons, and I want you to know I'm always praying about where we're going to go. I'm always asking our other pastors to pray, and even our staff. I ask our staff these same things, to be praying about this so that, you know, we make the right choices. But it's been on my heart since the spring to preach through the book of Galatians, because, you know, you got to feel the same way I do. I mean, the day and age in which we live is dark, of course. It's always been dark. But, boy, it's just, I'm so sick of political correctness. Are you guys? And I am so sick and tired of lies being propagated as if they're true, false narratives, false stories. I'm so sick. Are you sick of this? And, you know, right is now called wrong. And that's been true since, this all started here in the human race. But it is terrible. The Bible says it's going to be worse now than ever. And it really is. It's worse now than it was last year, than the year before, than 10 years before that, for sure. Do you agree on that? We do agree. And so right's called wrong, and what's wrong is now, I mean, it's insane. What, you know, 5, 10 years ago was like, yuck, is now totally fine. And I can't even begin to talk about all those things. We will in this study, though. That's why, one of the reasons why I chose this book, because Galatians tells the truth, the whole truth, and nothing but the truth in an unashamed and bold way. And I thought, like an arrow, we were fired right toward the book of Galatians. And hopefully, like an arrow, it'll be fired right toward us in our hearts. So we're going to start by looking together at the overview and occasion of the epistle. So if you take your study sheets out, you got your Bible open to Isaiah 28. Before we pray, I want to read through these two paragraphs. And again, if you're a guest with us, I could preach this without any notes. I feel like it's my responsibility every Sunday to give you the notes. You're essentially getting the outline of the message I'm preaching, so you can take that home. We do that here in our Sunday school classes. We're very diligent because we want you to build your library. We want you to be able to make disciples in all the earth, and we want you to be equipped. So we're giving you this material so that you have it, that you can keep it, that it will help you in your life. So please follow along as I read these first two points, two paragraphs, I guess, in the overview and occasion of the epistle and try to get us all on the same page with this book of Galatians. Galatia was a Roman province, especially the southern part of Galatia. But Galatia was a Roman province during the time of Paul's missionary journey to this part of Asia Minor. It was a highly contested region, and there had always been warring peoples trying to take over this particular area. It was had a lot of benefits to this region, but it's a region. The apostles' work in that region was very fruitful, as a plethora of churches were planted and flourishing, especially in the cities that will be familiar to you if you read your Bible: Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, and Antioch. Not Antioch, Syria, but Antioch, Pisidia. And it was here that huge numbers of mostly Gentile, there are Jews scattered everywhere, but of mostly Gentile converts had joyfully received Christ and were being discipled. However, and mark it down, where God succeeds, enemy activity is not far behind. Huh? You ever really make some choices that are really for God, man, and God's really at work in your life, and then what happens, man? Wow. Trouble. Yeah. Same here. Lots of stuff happening in these areas. Churches being started. That's where Timothy was from. All kinds of activity. Over time, false Jewish teachers or Jewish proselytes ascended upon the local churches, propagating counterfeit doctrines, insisting the Gentiles could not become true Christians without being circumcised and keeping the law, or the law of Moses. Unfortunately, the Galatians received this false teaching as wholeheartedly as they accepted Paul's message. Now listen, get this. This is the context. This is the occasion of the epistle to the churches of Galatia. This is why the Apostle Paul sent this letter throughout this region, inspired by the Holy Ghost, to combat this issue. This is the occasion of the epistle to the churches, plural. We'll see that in a little bit, of Galatia. Now, no matter how hard you look, nowhere in the Apostle Paul's letters is the truth so vehemently hammered than in this letter to the Galatians. Here in this powerful text, all pseudo-Christian doctrines and fictitious beliefs are scathed and openly denounced. This is going to be quite a fiery series ahead. And rightly so, because we're sick of the truth being covered up. And as we read this, and I want to encourage you, 18 and a half minutes to read it out loud. This book of Galatians. 18 and a half minutes. So please read it every day if you can. As you read, you can almost hear the quaking of the quill on paper and see the protruding neck veins and scorching eyes of the apostle to the Gentiles as he writes with his own hand. Although there are certainly, we'll cover those as well, there are moments of lamentation and gentleness from the Apostle Paul, his overall message flies in the face of modern day emergent panty waist religionists, Christians, and pastors. And you can snicker if you want. And yes, I wrote this. Because I've read this book over and over and over and over and over. And I felt that I had a little bit of liberty, and I will throughout this study, to preach it and to present it in the same flavor the Apostle Paul does. In our modern vernacular. So panty waist showed up. You don't have to think about what panty waist is, do you? Listen, sissy pastors, people who don't believe the Bible, they avoid parts of... Oh, they pick out the fruit of the Spirit. But they avoid the most of the book of Galatians like it's the plague. Listen, I'm talking to... And I don't mean to embarrass you, but I'm talking to Aaron Stanley this morning, and he can barely speak. His voice is all like this. Because he's been out preaching the Bible on the street in downtown Canton. Not a one of the modern day emergent pastors today would even dream about doing anything like that. Let alone witness to souls. And so they avoid parts of this book like it's the plague. But we will not. We'll rather glean good and sound doctrine from its pages. And just as the Bible tells us is how we're going to do it. Here's how we're going to conduct our study. Isaiah chapter 28, verses 9, 10, and 13. Please follow along as I read. This is how our study's going to go. Whom shall he teach knowledge? And whom shall he make to understand doctrine? Answer, them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breasts. For precept must be upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Verse 13. But the word of the Lord was unto them precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little, comparing Scripture with Scripture, that they might go and fall backward and be what? Broken and snared and taken by the power of Almighty God. Let's pray. Father, I pray that as we launch off into this study that we'd have a good morning today. We've had a good day already, Lord. The meeting this morning, you blessed us in it, and I thank you for that. And just everything that's taken place here, if we went home right now, that we would have had a good day in your house. And Father, I pray that this would be a great finish to it. That as we look into your words and we look into this incredible book of Galatians, that you'd use today and you'd use this study in the weeks and months ahead to really give us more courage, not to be mean people, not to be contentious, brash character, but that we would be more loving, that we'd be more a burden for the world and more unashamed of you and your Son, Jesus Christ. The world wants us to be ashamed so that it can reach its goal of keeping us quiet. So, Lord, I pray you'd use this study as you did in the heart of the Apostle Paul to give us boldness, that you'd encourage us, but Lord, that we would have the same burden that you do for this world. I pray for this study this morning that I, as the preacher, would be out of the way. And Lord, I gave lots of details and lots of notes today, but I pray we wouldn't get lost in all the words of my study sheet, but that we would find great joy in the words found in your book. Father, there's certainly got to be somebody here today who's unsaved, and so I pray that even through this classroom-type study this morning that somebody would get saved. And I pray that believers would go to school with you today. And maybe there's some things that need to change in all of our lives today. We know you're going to speak. I pray, Lord, that everyone here would listen. Your servants here today are listening. Pray that everyone would, to the end that you might be glorified. We pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's go through some fundamental information about this. You guys ready? All right, the title, Galatians, it has a meaning, and that's really where you begin. It says the epistle of Paul the Apostle to the Galatians. And most people will study a book, but they fail to begin at the beginning. And so we don't want to do that. We want to start where God starts, and that's with the title. And the title, Galatians, it literally means the country of the Gauls. Or it means Gaul or Gauls. It's a people group. And it's sometimes, this people group are sometimes referred to as the Celts. And this name, Gauls, and their heritage, when you combine all these things together, it means chisel. Chisel, like a hammer and chisel. And the opening chapter addresses the recipient as churches. Look with me. In verse 1, Paul, an apostle. Oh, are you in Galatians chapter 1? All right. Paul, an apostle, verse 1, not of men, neither by man, but by Jesus Christ, and God the Father who raised him from the dead. Verse 2, and all the brethren which are with me unto the church of Galatia. Is that what it says? No, it says unto the churches of Galatia. Now, we're going to talk a lot about that next week, next Sunday, and the significance of that and how it applies to our modern day world and how autonomous local churches are meant to be. But it's addressed, the recipient is churches in the plural form. You see, it does that. It's in the plural form because Galatia is a province. It's a Roman province at this time of history. It was a region, not a city. The major cities of Galatia, I've already listed them, were Antioch, Pisidia, not Syria, Iconium, Lystra, Derbe, major cities that are mentioned throughout the pages of Scripture and already mentioned on your study sheet today. Now, the definition for Gaul or Celt, as I've already said, is chisel. Now, I want you to think about this. This is a supernatural book you have here in your hands, folks. This is no ordinary book. You see, when we start where we're supposed to start, we learn something. A chisel is for chipping away at something, isn't it? A chisel is a tool used for cutting or carving into a very solid, hard material. A very solid, hard material. And that's exactly what was going on in the churches of Galatia. Christ, the chief cornerstone, was being chiseled away by false teachers referred to as Judaizers in history. And these were Jews or Jewish proselytes who would be a Gentile convert to Judaism. These were Jews who had not received the simple message of the gospel of grace by faith alone. They had come into the region to adulterate Paul's gospel of grace by adding a mixture of human works and legalism. Look at what Paul says about this. We're going to just kind of work through some passages here. Look in chapter 1, look in verse 6. He says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Which is not another, obviously. But there be some that trouble you and would pervert the gospel of Christ. So here we learn right away that another gospel is really a perverted gospel. But though we, now watch what he says, or an angel from heaven, oh, it's going to be a hot series, folks, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be ashamed. Let him be sorry. What does it say? Let him be accursed. There is a curse from God on that person and on that church and on that religion. That's what it says. I didn't make that up. That's what it says. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach any other gospel, a perverted gospel, unto you, then that ye have received, let him be, what? Accursed. Those are some strong words. Would you agree? Look in chapter 2, verse 1. We'll work all this times and years and all this out when we get to it. Then 14 years after, I went up again to Jerusalem with Barnabas and took Titus with me also. And I went up by revelation and communicated unto them that gospel which I preached among the Gentiles, but privately to them which were of reputation, lest by any means I should run or had run in vain. We'll talk and explain all these things later in our study. But neither, not today, in the weeks and months ahead, but neither Titus, who was with me, being a Greek, was compelled to be circumcised. And that because of false brethren unawares brought in, who came in privily to spy out our liberty. And listen, don't be fooled. That kind of stuff happens here all the time. People with satanic doctrines come in here privately, secretly, and they're spying out the liberty that we have in Jesus Christ, ready to try to plant some bombs, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into what? Bondage. To whom we have, or to whom we gave place by subjection. No, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. So some powerful words. Look in chapter 3. Oh, foolish Galatians. That'd be like me saying, you bunch of fools, while I'm talking to you. I think I might have done that once or twice, so sorry. Oh, foolish. You're foolish, Galatians. Who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? This only would I learn of you. Receive ye the Spirit by the works of the law, or by the hearing of faith? Are ye so foolish? Having begun in the Spirit, are ye now made perfect somehow by the flesh? Huh? Boy, that's all over people. There's churches everywhere that teach and believe that when you're genuinely saved, you can lose it. So it's automatically connected to a human works, obviously. Trouble. That's trouble, folks. People are being taught that. They weren't taught these things, but now that false teachers came in, started teaching this stuff, and Paul is combating it. Almost slipped and fell. Can you believe it? It's because my shoes are too shiny. Yeah, it's true. Everybody looked at my shoes, didn't you? Now look in verse 11. Well, let's go back to 10. For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For as written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all things which are written in the book of the law to do them. Chapter 3, verse 11. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. There it is, right there. You think the Ten Commandments are going to save you? Not. They prove you're guilty. That's what they're for. And lead you to Christ. It is evident. For the just shall live by what? And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall what? Live in them. Christ hath redeemed us, now watch, from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Look in chapter 4, verse 9. These are powerful words. Would you guys agree? These are just some of them. We're going to study all this. This is one of my favorite, dealing with this particular subject matter, this is one of my favorite verses in the Bible. Verse 9. But now, after that ye have known God, or rather are known of God, boy, don't you like that, how turn ye again, how turn ye again to the weak and beggarly elements whereunto ye desire again to be in bondage? A dog returns to its vomit. Yuck. Isn't that gross? Did you ever see a dog do that? What a picture in your mind right now that you're recalling. Oh, I'll be honest with you. I love our dog. In our last study, or many studies back actually, we studied the book of Ruth. And you know, the kinsman redeemer is Boaz. And so we got this awesome, beautiful dog and we named him Boaz. I love our dog, but I don't like when he gets his snout up and starts licking my lips. Dogs. Yuck. You can finish the sentence. Just, why go back? That's what he's talking about. Why go back to the stuff you've been set free from? Why would you go back under bondage of trying to work your way to heaven? It's gross, man. Yuck. Gross. That's what he's talking about. You see, these are intense statements, and therefore we're going to have some intensity to what's happening here. So listen, I'm pre-warning you. You need to bring guests to this study. Don't, I'm not going to bring any guests to this study because, man, they're going to just, you know, they're going to get ticked off. No, listen, you need to bring guests to the study. I'm going to do my job. I'm not up here to hurt anybody. Man, we all got saved, didn't we? Whether we got saved when we were young, when we were kids and spared from the trouble of this world, or whether we got sucked up into the world and saved out of it. Listen, we all got saved. God's given us His grace, and we got nothing but grace for everybody else we know. Right? But we're going to tell the truth. So listen, you need to invite guests and pray, but you need to prepare your guests before you bring them here. That's all. Who's laughing about that? We need to prepare them. So do your job. I'll do mine, you do yours. Prepare your guests before they come in. And you have guests. Listen, you have friends that are locked up into false religions, that have been taught falsely. You have friends and family members that don't attend churches, or maybe they say they're a member of a church but haven't been there for a long time, and they all think if they're good, they can get to heaven. This is a great, the next 18, 19 weeks, you want them to be here if you can. Have some guests here because they need to hear these things. Because that's not true. You can't work your way to heaven. You're just digging a hole. That's the truth. All right, there are 6 chapters in the book of Galatians. That's not hard to figure out. It's a small book. There are 149 verses in it. 149, and I think, did I do you a favor? Okay, there are 3,098 words. So we're all accurate. So hold your place here and turn to Proverbs. Why a count? Why is this important? Why is a word count important? I'll show you why. Are we going to utilize that? 3,098, are we going to use that? Yeah, we are. They're going to use us, actually. That's what we're praying. Listen, this is not a tool that I use. This is not a tool we use as Christians. If there is such a thing as a tool, it's us. This is the boss. This is the hand that holds the tool, which would be us. So, no matter what they say in modern day words, you're a tool. Yeah, well, that didn't go over that big. But I thought it was funny. That was a pre-prepared joke, pre-planned joke, by the way. All right, verse 5, Proverbs 30. Now, do you believe what the Bible says? Every word of God is what? Pure. So, 3,098 words in the book of Galatians, and every single one of them is what? Pure. He is a shield unto them that put their trust in Him. Add thou not unto His words, lest He reprove thee, and thou be found a what? And that's exactly what they were doing at this time in history in Galatia, in the province of Galatia. They were saying, oh, well, yeah, Christ is, oh, for sure, Christ died for us, but you got to do this. Have you been circumcised? Or you're the male of the home. Have you been circumcised? Have the men in the house been? No. They're adding to what the Bible says. You better be careful. So, every word is pure. So, that's why we do a word count. Because every one of them is pure. That's why we have these word counts here. The author is the Apostle Paul. Turn back to Galatians. The author is the Apostle Paul. Paul considered this letter of such importance that he wrote it with his own hand. Look in Galatians chapter 1. What's the very first word? Paul, an apostle. So He is the author, but now in other letters he didn't write with his own hand. He would speak. Holy men of God spake as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. He would speak while someone else was writing. He'd have a scribe or secretary that would write down what he would say. But here is different. Look in chapter 5, in verse 2. I think I got the wrong. Oh no. Okay. Behold, I who? Paul. Say unto you. So we know that he's the author. Now whether he wrote it with his own hand, we won't know that until we look at chapter 6. Look at chapter 6 and look in verse 11. There we go. Ye see how large a letter I've written unto you, 3,098 words. You see how large a letter I've written unto you with mine own what? Hand. And Paul is talking. He's the author. And not only did he speak it as he did the other epistles, and in fact is the author of them, but he actually wrote this with his own hands. Now that's significant. Because this is the very book that reveals he had some kind of problem with writing. Now look in chapter 4 and look in verse 15. I kind of balked for a minute because I wanted to take us there first, but this is what we want to see last. Where is then the blessedness ye speak of? For I bear you record that if it had been possible, ye would have plucked out your own eyes and have given them to me. This is the very verse that causes us to think that the Apostle Paul had some kind of problems with his eyes. Maybe these are the very things that he sought the Lord after 3 times, but he realized that God's grace was sufficient for him when he didn't get fixed. Many people think that his eyes were so bad he couldn't see anything. He would have needed glasses, but they didn't have those available, so he couldn't see really, really well. Or maybe he had some kind of problems with his eyes. I have pretty serious problems with my eyes. I got to share this with you. That's not in my notes, but you know, there are sometimes I'm weeping when we're singing, but you know, I have problems with my eyes, so I have to take my glasses off and I have to fix my eyes because I got eye problems. And I was talking to one dear saint one day. She was in the hallway. I won't mention her name. So sweet. And I was telling her about my eye problems. And she sits not far behind me and can see me when I'm singing. And I'm always, every service, I'm always rubbing my eyes. And she said, "So you rub your eyes all the time?" And I go, "Yeah, all the time." And she goes, "Huh. Well, here I thought, my poor dear pastor, every day at time he sings, he's crying his eyes out." So now every time I pull my hanky out to wipe my eye, I'm like, everybody's thinking I'm crying. That happens to be if I'm in their line of sight. Sometimes I am, but I'm clearing my eyes. I got eye problems. Maybe the Apostle Paul had problems like that. Maybe he just couldn't see. And so he was, by emphasis, see what you learn. See, you learn all kinds of stuff from the Bible. See what you learn. If you got some kind of heavy issue with somebody, you know, rather than send them an email or even calling them sometimes, taking time to get out a pencil and paper and handwriting a message to them, it really, especially in this day and age, really lands home, doesn't it? It shows more importance to that. Boy, you can learn that from that right there, just from who the author of Galatians is. Boy, this book just keeps giving and giving and giving in all areas of our life, doesn't it? What a good example. So he's the author. He would speak while someone else would write, but everybody evidently knew that he had eye problems when he traveled through these areas, and for them to receive a letter that he wrote with his own hand, very serious. It brings the level of seriousness and gives them more of a sense of how serious this is. Does that make sense to you guys? That's very important. So he's the author. All right, the time of writing. Let's keep moving. The time of writing. The time is greatly contested. Scholars say it was between 49 and 64 AD, and many of them land all through there. But it was likely 51 to 52 AD. Now, again, it's very controversial. No one agrees. It could be as early as 49. There's reasons for that. Could be as late as 64. There's reasons for that. But based on the timeline, and when we weigh everything together, and we're going to try to see that in our study, and you'll see the importance of it later. But the timeline is given in chapter 1 and chapter 2. And it was over 17 years after Paul's conversion in Acts chapter 9. And so therefore, I believe personally that it was around 51 to 52. So I'm with the people that believe that. But I'm not as smart as a scholar. But I do, however, believe the Bible, and that's makes me pretty smart. Not in myself, but when you believe the Bible, it makes you smart. So I think it's 51 to 52, and I think that's a pretty good, safe time. And there'll be significance to that throughout our study. You'll see that. Okay, the theme. Now, this could be stated many ways, but the theme of Galatians is Jesus Christ is our liberty. Christ made us free from the curse of the law. Amen? And hey, do you know what is the curse of the law? What's the curse? Here's the curse. It's impossible to keep. Just list them. List out all the different laws. List out the Ten Commandments and try to keep them. It's not going to happen. Therefore, you're guilty. That's the curse of the law. If you're trying to work your way to heaven, you're under the curse. You're living under a curse. You can't do it. It's impossible. So you're cursed. You're guilty. But Christ set us free from that curse. Do you know Him today? You can be set free from that curse today before you leave this room. Isn't that something? Wow, I got saved in a church service much like this. Praise the Lord. Galatians, you see, is the second greatest book in the Bible concerning the doctrine of salvation, therefore. Because he's coming against this false teachers about Christ and salvation, it becomes a fantastic book concerning the doctrine of salvation. The first, it's second only because the first, of course, is Romans. Romans and Galatians are two books that go perfectly together hand in hand. Where Romans proves salvation is by God's grace through Christ alone, Galatians proves that our salvation is kept by God's grace through Christ alone. Amen? Galatians is the counterpart to the book of Romans. The main difference is this. Romans is a doctrinal dissertation to believers about Christ's righteousness and our salvation. Romans explains our righteousness is only in Christ. That's Romans. Galatians is an exposition to believers against false doctrine and false gospel messages. Now, there's times in Galatians where it appears he's talking to lost people, and we'll address that. And he, in fact, is. But Galatians explains our liberty in Christ to do what is right by God. We have liberty in Christ because He set us free through His shed blood. So now we are free not to do anything, but to do anything that's right. Praise the Lord. Because He set us free. The key verses are Galatians chapter 2, verses 20 and 21. Why don't you look at it? Every Christian should commit these verses to memory. He says, I'm crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ liveth in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave Himself for me. What a powerful statement. I do not frustrate the grace of God, for if righteousness come by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. Key verse of this entire book, and should be committed to your memory. So if you don't have this memorized, Christian, start working on it. Have it done by next week. Another key verse is in chapter 5 and verse 1. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. Stand fast in that liberty once you're saved. You're free. And be not entangled again with the yoke of what? Bondage. Key verse. Describes what this whole book is about. These verses demonstrate the theme of the entire book. And every Christian should commit these verses to memory. The key chapters, chapter 5, we in my notes say to read it. We're not going to read it and work through it today. But the key chapters, chapter 5, liberty is the prevailing theme. No works found here, only the fruit of the Spirit that are given to us after we get saved. He reminds people in here, you know, lost people do all this stuff and they're not going to heaven, so why would you want to go and do what they do? Do this instead, fruit of the Spirit. And next we have the three basic applications to Scripture. How are you guys doing today? Doing okay? All right, next we have the three basic applications to Scripture, and all Scripture has three basic applications. First and foremost, the Bible is an accurate history book. First and foremost, if you don't understand the history, then you don't really know how to set the context for anything else. That's what we've been doing today, talking to you about a lot about the history of what's going on in Galatia and what was happening. But it's also a book of doctrine. That means there's teaching in here. And we need details. Listen, we need the details of how this all came about and who we are and where we fit in and where we fit in the universe, where we fit in God's plan. God has a plan for the universe. He has a plan for the planet Earth. He has a plan for nations in the earth. He has a plan for regions in the earth. He has a plan for every local church that believes Him and loves Him. He has a plan for your life. The doctrine in the Bible gives us all the details to work out all of these things prophetically, details, what to believe, because what you believe will direct what you do, where your feet take you, what your eyes look on, what you allow into your ears. So it's a book of doctrine, history, and it's a book of doctrine, but it's also a book of devotional or applicational truths. How do all this history and how do all these doctrines and all these prophecies and all these details, how do these things apply to my life right now, today, in 2017? September 3rd. How? So every passage in the Bible, doesn't matter where it is, Old or New Testament, every passage, every 1,089 chapters in the Bible, and full of words, 773,000 some odd words in the Bible, and every one of them is pure, and every one of them has a historical, a doctrinal, some way or another, and devotional application. Historically, Paul writes to the churches of Galatia concerning the false gospel of human works and straightens them out with the true gospel of Christ. Historical fact and occasion. Doctrinal. Just as we're saved by grace through faith, we're also kept by that very same grace. Like then, today, the enemy attempts to marry faith to works and flesh to spirit. Galatians answers the damnable doctrines of every false Christian religion that mixes biblical salvation with works. Our salvation is based on Christ alone. He's our power, our position, and our purpose in life. He alone gives us liberty. Amen? Now, overall, there's lots of doctrinal truth here, but overall, that's the doctrinal point of Galatians. And then devotional truths are... Man, every turn of the corner there's devotion. I just shared one obscure one with you just about writing a handwriting letters to somebody and how powerful they can be by this example of Paul. There are countless devotional truths anywhere, but this is the broader overall devotional purpose for Galatians. There is a relentless battle within each believer for the yielding of our souls to the flesh or to the Spirit, isn't there? Aren't you in it every day? There's a battle every day. There's a battle every day, and it's right here. It's the battlefield is right here. Our fruit reveals who's winning that battle. We can choose the bondage of the flesh or the freedom of the Spirit. Huh? My heart was very full about these things in Galatians, and so, man, we're singing, and I'm just happy today because I've been set free. It's always best to humble ourselves and to submit to the Holy Spirit through the Word of God. Do you guys believe that? And again, there are countless devotional truths in Galatians. We're going to hit on them. But this is the basic overall point. Now, every book has an outline, and this is the basic outline structure of Galatians. And there are many ways. We're actually not going to follow this outline. We're going to follow a very detailed outline in each passage. But this is the broader outline that we can't really ever escape. But since we're going to dig into the text each week and go from one passage to the next, we're going to follow a slightly different outline. And there's many ways to outline books of the Bible. But this is the overall outline, the basic outline structure of Galatians. In chapters 1 and 2, it's very personal compared to the rest of the book. The grace of God and the gospel of Christ. Lost in Adam versus saved in Christ. Physical death in Adam versus spiritual life in Christ. The false gospel versus the true gospel. Man's reasoning versus God's revelation. We see those things going back and forth as the Apostle Paul makes his dissertation and his argument. In chapters 3 through 4, it's very doctrinal. The Old Testament law versus the grace of God. Law versus grace. Works versus faith. Curse of death versus blessing of faith. Condemnation by works, justification by faith. Servants in bondage, defeat. Sons in freedom, victory. Old covenant, pictured by Hagar. And the new covenant, pictured by Sarah. Can't wait to get there. Great things happening. And then in chapter 5 and 6, very similar to the historical doctrinal and devotional outline, it's practical. The life of liberty and the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Liberty is your blank. Living in the flesh versus walking in the Spirit. Works of the flesh versus the fruit of the Spirit. Falling from grace, standing fast in grace. That doesn't mean losing your salvation. World and or self as the object of glorying versus the cross as the sole object of glorying. Amen? That's the outline of Galatians, and we're going to work it in greater detail. And finally, some overall truths gleaned from Galatians. And these truths are going to be supported probably in some way or another in every single message. And so I've really boiled it down to these three things. First, and please hear this. Listen, if you're tuned out, you're sleepy, because it's been a long service today with the introduction of the new member candidates. Isn't that a blessing to see those new folks? Then wake up right now. Wake up. You don't want to miss this. You need to hear this. Let it sink deep in. Stand fast in biblical truth. Do not be intimidated. Do not allow Judaizers who say, to be a Christian, you must keep the law of Moses or any works. Or do not allow legalists who believe you must speak, think, dress, and say what they do, or else you're an apostate or unsaved. Don't be intimidated by them. Or Arminians, and that's not a term that I use that often, but you got Calvinists on one side and Arminians on the other, and we're neither, folks, just so that you know. And we're going to work through that as we go through the book of Galatians so that you have an understanding of these things if you don't already. And it'll be a lot of fun. It really will be. Because these fun things, it was just like, who was it? Michaela's testimony about wanting to grow because she loves to hear the Word of God. That'll make you grow. So, listen. Armenians, and oversimplified, it's anyone who teaches that a believer can lose their salvation by committing various sins. That is totally unbiblical. It needs to be booted out. It's nonsense. We always have people come in here and they look, maybe there's somebody in here today and you believe that. But we don't know that because you're not causing problems. There are people come in here and they spout off their mouths. All they're showing us is how ignorant they are about the blood and power of Jesus Christ to save a soul. That's all that is. It's nonsense. Don't be intimidated by that nonsense to have a moment to speak highly of the flesh. Because that's what this is all about, speaking highly of the flesh. Well, I don't want to be ever speaking highly about our flesh, do you? Yuck. Gross. On your best day, you're still a sinner. Thank God you've been set free by Jesus Christ. That's what we boast in, folks. Jesus. Not our good works. Next, avoid opposition unless absolutely necessary. When confronting a false gospel or false teachings, do it with boldness, but in what? What do you think the blank there is? Love. With the goal of reconciling the lost to Christ and the Christian to a proper relationship with Christ. Look in Galatians chapter 6. Brethren, verse 1, if a man be overtaken in a fault, ye which are spiritual, restore such an one in the spirit of meekness, considering thyself, lest thou also be tempted. Bear you one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if a man think himself to be something when he's nothing, he deceiveth himself. But let every man prove his own work, and then shall he have rejoicing of himself alone, and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. What a great passage in the Bible. We're going to study that. And last, expect opposition and confrontation. Unless you keep your mouth completely shut and are ashamed of Christ, you're going to get opposition and confrontation. There are false teachers and false gospel messages lying in wait to deceive. And there are people who've received these false messages that they think they're true, like the Galatians. And they need straightened out, like the Galatians. They're waiting to deceive and to take prisoners, people, unsaved and believers, captive. And this study is going to help prepare you and make you ready for the battle at hand. Because there's a war out there, as Pastor Rory so rightly said earlier. Amen? All right, so that's our classroom study for the day. All right, now, go ahead, pack everything up.